and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate you today, God, for doing what only you could do, and that is dying for the atonement of our sins. We pray, Father God, as we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth, that your Holy Spirit will have his way today. Save those who might be here and lost. Strengthen those who are weak in their faith. Help us to become all that you created us to become. Now, Lord God, just simply use me, thy servant, as your instrument. Remove me out of the way. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some more praise. Amen. He is worthy. He is worthy of all of our praise. Amen. We want to thank Sister Tina and Tiffany and the Moriar and the musicians and the choir. All of you, bless you. What a blessing. What a blessing. You have all blessed us. Let's give the choir a hand as well. Beautiful. Amen. And all of you look so marvelous on this Resurrection Sunday. Please secure your Bibles as we just consider the Word of God on this Resurrection Sunday. I will just be reading from Romans 8, verses 31 and 32. And you can just keep your Bibles open to Romans 8 as we meditate on God's Word. Please stand in reverence to the Word of God. Romans 8, 31 and 32. And from the New King James, it reads as follows. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, somebody say along with him, graciously give us all things? You may be seated. I want to talk on this Resurrection Sunday from the subject, God is with us. God is with us and for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is for us. My brothers and sisters, that alone suggests to you, or it should suggest to you, that there are some things in this world that is not for you. There are some things in this world, even though God is for you and with you, we need to understand, if you're really going to celebrate what God has done for you today, you need to understand there are some things in life that's not for you. Can I say, somebody say amen to that? You know, and some of those things are external and some of those things are internal. How many of you went to see the Black Panther, as Forrest Whitaker said, the Black Panther? He had a way of saying it. And the Black Panther, there were external and internal enemies. An internal enemy was M'Baku, who were from the Jabari tribe, and he was out and he challenged the Black Panther to change Wakanda in the way that he wanted it to be. He was an internal threat to the Black Panther leadership, but then you had an external leadership threat. He was the Killmonger, the guy with all the bumps all over his body. He was the external threat to the Black Panther. We need to understand this morning that if you're really going to get this thing and celebrate who Jesus really is, you need to understand there are some real enemies out there. There are some real threats out there, and they are both external and internal. What are those external threats? Fallen man. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, an external threat to you becoming who God wants you to be is the fallenness of man. The fallenness of man has allowed us to have gun laws that have no sense. That even after mass shootings, even after the sense gun laws because of the fallenness of man. If you don't think this world needs Jesus, just think about why we need all the guns that we have. It's not protecting us from God, because you can't protect yourself from God. It's protecting us from each other. An external threat that you need Jesus for is the fallenness of man. The fallenness of man has been the result of the Holocaust. The fallenness of man has been the result of slavery. And what I believe, I told my daughter now, there is a diabolical plot against trying to dehumanize a race. That means us. There's a diabolical plot to try to make us criminals. There's a diabolical plot to try to make us less than others. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus says that I'm made in his image. He says that I'm going to be all right if I just follow him. I'm talking about external threats, the reason why you need Jesus. Not only are there external threats, there are also internal threats. The Bible says, if you go back to Romans 7, Paul says, the good that I would, I do not. My brothers and sisters, you ever felt like that before? I don't really want to curse somebody out, but I cursed them out anyway. I didn't really want to steal, but I stole anyway. I didn't really want to not forgive, but I'm not forgiven anyway. There is a real threat to us becoming who God has made us to be. And it's not always on the outside. We got some stuff on the inside that stops us from being who God has created us to be. There's another external threat, and he gets more credit than he's due, and that's the father of lies, Satan himself. In John 8:44, Jesus calls him the father of lies. He does not want you to become all that God wants you to become. He does not want me to become all that God wants me to become. But thanks be to God that there's victory in Jesus Christ. But I want y'all to notice something here this morning. If God is going to be for you, you really need to study this text, because verse 31 says, if God is for us. That means if you are on with Jesus and he's on your side and you're on his side, then God is for you, but you have to be with Jesus. You've got to have his spirit, somebody say his spirit, dwelling on the inside of you. Because if you don't, this world will crush you. If you don't, this world will steal your joy and your hope. But if you got God on the inside, somebody say God on the inside. You can withstand anything. There's a story of a nuclear submarine, and it had strong metal all around it to resist the ocean pressure. But one day in 1963, this nuclear submarine went down and the engine stopped, and it kept going down to the depths of the ocean till it reached 8,400 feet. And the pressure of the ocean crushed that strong steel, and the 129 folks aboard were crushed like they were in an eggshell. But the Navy had a stronger machine, and it was built like an iron ball, and it went down in search of that nuclear submarine, and it found it indeed crushed. But it also found something else that fascinated the scientists, that even though that steel was crushed like an egg, it found fish floating around at that level untouched. Why were they able to withstand the pressure of the ocean? They discovered in those fish that the same pressure on the outside was the same pressure on the inside. What am I saying to you? That if you're going to withstand the pressures of this world, if you're not going to be crushed by this world, you've got to have something on the inside. John 4:4 says, he that is in you is greater, somebody say greater, than he that is in the world. Somebody say God is for us. Why do we know God is for us in Romans 8? Three things. God is for us because there's no condemnation. Somebody say no condemnation. God is for us because there's no situation. Somebody say situation. And God is for us because there is no separation. In Romans 8:1, in the New King, King James, it says, therefore, there is now. That means after you've come to know Jesus, there is now, even though the good that you would, you do not, like all of us are in that situation from time to time, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, I know I speed still to this day, even though I'm going to glory. I know I fall short of God's glory, but the Bible says, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of my lead feet, in spite of my wandering minds at times, there's still no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Why is there no condemnation? Turn to Romans 8:29. There's no condemnation because in Romans 8:29, it says God foreknew you. That means before you were in your mother's womb, God knew that you were going to need a Savior. God knew that you were going to need Jesus Christ. Not only did God know that you were going to need Jesus, he predestined you. And I want you to, we always stop there, that people look at this as the doctrine of elect. But I like what one scholar said, this predestined to be conformed to the image of God, of his son, means that predestined in the Greek means pre-horizon. In other words, God set boundaries and limits for everyone who comes to know Jesus Christ. There's already a prescribed end. Let me make this plain. I like the analogy that I read the other day, that predestined means that when somebody invites you to dinner, if my wife invites you over, she's already predestined that she's going to have turkey. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have turkey. Doesn't mean that you even have to accept the invitation. But if you accept the invitation, you're going to have turkey because roast beef ain't on the menu. God has really predestined those who will come to him. He's not taking the human accountability out. Hear me on this. He doesn't stop anybody from coming to him. That's not what predestination means. What it means is that once you accept him, that is predetermined, the Bible says, that you're going to be conformed unto his image. All you've got to do is accept Jesus Christ. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but the Bible says what? We shall be like him. We know there's no condemnation because God foreknew us, that God predestined us to be conformed to the image of God. But not only that, he called us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, God has called you here today. Like Paul on that road to Damascus, he doesn't know what everybody else is saying, but all he knows is I was on a dusty road one day and I saw the risen Savior. God has called you to be his child. Not only has God called you, he's justified you. You can't get to heaven any other way. Somebody say no other way. Unless you've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Very simply, justification means that you've been put in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. All of our sins were put on him, and he died on the cross for our sins. And his righteousness, somebody say his righteousness, was imputed onto our account. In other words, you may look good in your Easter outfit, but you have no righteousness. All of your righteousness, somebody say all of my righteousness. Isaiah says it's like dirty rags. So Jesus justified us. And then thanks be to God, he glorified us. That's past tense. In other words, it does not yet appear what I should be, but one day I shall be like him. He's at the right hand of the Father. And when we get caught up in the air, we shall be like him. God is for us, my brothers and sisters, because there's no condemnation. Somebody say no condemnation. Not only does Romans 8 teach us that God is for us because there's no condemnation, God is for us because there's no situation. Somebody say situation. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know, somebody say we know. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. All things work together. That means there's no situation. situation that is so bad, not death, not tears, not pain, not failure, not success, not betrayal, nothing will come against you that God can't use to fulfill his purpose in you, because there's no situation that God won't use to bring you to where God wants you to be. If you're with Jesus, somebody say, I'm with Jesus this morning. Not only does Paul tell us that there's no condemnation and there's no situation, thanks be to God that there's no separation. Somebody say, there's no separation. In Romans 8:35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Maybe you're going through some hard times. God is speaking to you this morning. Shall trouble? No. Or hardship? No. Or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. Verse 37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Oh, I'm going to keep reading. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or any else in all creation, this is good news, y'all, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you with Jesus today? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm with Jesus. My brothers and sisters, we celebrate this day indeed, because despite of all of our sins, past, present, and future, I know we're not right and everybody wants to indict the church, but it doesn't mean that the blood of Jesus has not worked. We say all the time here that the blood of Jesus has delivered us from the power of sin. That means we're no longer in bondage to sin. It's delivered us also from the punishment of sin. That means when Romans 3:26 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We're escaping the wages of sin. What we're dealing with here, you and I, is the presence of sin. It's in the world. But God has overcome the world. So this morning we know that God is for us because there's no condemnation. Somebody say, no condemnation. God is for us because there's no situation. Tell your neighbor, there's no situation. All things work together for good. And thank God, even when you die, there's no separation. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, musician, I'm almost done, so y'all can go home and have y'all Easter dinner. Amen. But you need to know Jesus. Somebody say, you need to know Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to know Jesus. All of the promises of God that I've described, no condemnation, no situation, and no separation, is only if, it says, if God is for us. That's a condition. If you have Jesus Christ in your life. When I conclude my sermon, we're going to ask those who do not have Jesus to get on board, because you need the blood of Jesus to cover you. The story is told of a very rich man who was an arts collector. He had the best art around the world, Van Gogh and Picasso, you name it. He and his son, they loved to collect art, and they had the best. People would come and see their collections from all around the world. But one day, the Vietnam War happened, and his son, this rich man's son, was sent to the Vietnam War. And he would write his father off and on, and they missed each other greatly. But one day he received a knock on the door, this old rich father, and it was a soldier. You know, the knock that you don't want to have. And he had a frame in his hand, and he told this rich man that your son died in battle. And he told him that He saved my life and he saved others' life. And when he died, I'm not a great artist. I grew this amateur picture of your son. I know it's not much, but I did the best I could, and I want you to have this picture. It was really a very childish picture. It didn't look like much, but he gave it to this father, and since the father only had one son, he took that picture, and he cherished that picture, and in the midst of all of this grand collection, he put the picture of his son right in the middle of his collection. And when everybody would come to his house, he would go right to the picture of his son. One day, this old man died and left a will. And he auctioned off all of his paintings. And people from around the world came to buy his fancy collection, his Van Gogh and his Picasso and you name it. They were all excited to get one of his paintings. And so the auction started, but it started with the picture of the son. And the auctioneers were there, and the auctioneer said, this is a picture of the son. Does somebody have $500? What about four? What about three? What about two? What about one? Nobody said anything. What about 50? There was an old maid that had been taking care of the son, and she was crying because nobody wanted the picture of the son. And she said, I'll give you $10 for the picture of the son. The auctioneer said, going once, going twice, sold for $10. All of those rich folk in the audience, they were so excited. They were like, let's get on with the real auction. We didn't want that old picture anyway. But the auctioneer said, the auction is over. Because the old man had a stipulation in his will that whoever got the son got it all. Whoever got the son got the estate. Whoever got the son got the painting. Whoever got the son got it all. As we stand to our feet, do you have the son this morning? Because only with the son do you have the assurance of no condemnation. Only with the son do you have the assurance that no situation. Only with the son do you have the assurance that there is no separation. Those who have the son has it all. Do you have the son this morning? You need Jesus. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, you need Jesus. If you want to be sure that God is for you, you need Jesus this morning. So as we begin to close today, don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. I'm talking to every man, woman, boy, and girl. If you're here this morning and you know you don't have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, none of what I just preached about is available to you. Because only who has the Son has it all. As we sing Just As I Am, verses 1, 2, and 5, come as you are.